So, my dear devotees, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has seen Mathura. He has reached Mathura. Which is in Braj Mandala, of course. And he has not yet come to Vrindavan town. But before he does, something's very, very important for us happens. In Mathura, something happens which gives us an important lesson how to really arrive in the inner core of what is Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the spacious temple of Keshavaji. That is one of the deities who is eternally there in Braj Mandala, Keshava. The other is Haridev for the Govardhan area. And there are two others. And as he danced before Keshava, he became so overwhelmed in love. The Krishnadas Kaviraj says he moved in ways no one had ever seen. That must have been extraordinary. Imagine someone moves in. I know that Mahaprabhu's body sometimes took the form of a circle. His head touching his feet touching the head. You can imagine someone dancing with his head touching the, or being touched by the feet. That is not even visible in the wild kirtans in New Zealand. But this was something no one had ever seen. And I don't want to use my mental imagination, because I'm sure it will be wrong. But he was clearly something. His visit to the Keshavaji Mandi was so extraordinary when he went into his ecstatic kirtan that masses of people came around him and saw him. Amongst them was one Brahmana who stood there as a passive observer. We have heard from the authorized biographies that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted and distributed ecstatic prema of love of Godhead, even devatas came and stood in line to receive the gifts. But millions of people assembled. So it was a real commotion. It was really unimaginable. I have seen as a young boy the Beatles and really millions of people coming and seeing them and starting to scream, hey, hey, and ooh, and you know. I have also seen during the times of the Gauranga Bhajan group, 35,000 people, no, 33,000 people dancing with us in Moscow in the Olympitska Stadionsky. I think you can understand where that was, the Olympic Stadium. And I saw this ocean of people dancing and chanting and people becoming so excited that they lost their consciousness and passed out. We had all this sanitate people because we chanted so much and so intensely and with so much stunning effects that people were just chanting and becoming so overly excited that they fainted and had to be carried out. Hare Krishna. I think it was the mercy of Mahaprabhu which went towards them in some ways. But there were many, many people, and one Brahmana stood there He was not affected. He just looked and studied the sannyasi in disbelief. Then all of a sudden, as he looked at Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he paid his obeisances on the ground, jumped into the middle where Mahaprabhu was dancing, and joined him, dancing in also an ecstatic fashion with him. After the kirtan, Mahaprabhu embraced the brahmana, during the kirtan, they already embraced. I have to go by my notes here. And soon everyone who was seeing this ecstatic kirtan was laughing, crying, and dancing. And the people exclaimed, "When we see this sannyasi and see that everyone is maddened with love to Krishna, we come to the conclusion that this must be Krishna himself who has come back to Mathura to deliver everyone." So after that kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the brahmana aside to a place where no one could overhear their conversation. And he said, "Tell me, from where did you obtain that ecstatic love which I have just witnessed in you?" So there seems to be a secret here which Mahaprabhu wishes to lift. And the brahmana surprisingly says, "I'm by myself a low caste man. But once a great soul named Madhavendra Puri," thank you, it's so nice that you also are aware of this, "passed through Mathura. He stayed in my house and he accepted me as his disciple." So I got it from Madhavendra Puri, this high gift of love. This reminds us that Madhavendra Puri is the root of the tree of ecstatic love which Mahaprabhu brought from the spiritual world. And his disciple, Madhavendra Puri's disciple, do we remember his name? Ishvara Puri is the guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is a line in which, or let us see, say a pipe in which love of Godhead comes. When Madhavendra Puri left his body, he chanted a verse which had come out from the mouth of Srimati Radharani and which expresses this high type of love. It's a very wonderful verse. I believe we have a few verse-loving Vaishnavas here. You may join, but otherwise just hear it. It's really nice. Ai dina dayatra nata he Mathura nata kadavalokshase Hridayam tvat aloka kataram Dayita brahmyati kim karomyaham. We know when the Krishna had left Vrindavan, the gopis and especially Srimati Radharani were thrown into an ocean of separation. And when Uddhava visited them, there's a Braj song. He had talked to them, the message which Krishna had given them. Krishna was aware that when he left Mathura, the gopis were swimming in an ocean of separation. He had written a letter, a message, where he said, I'm never separated from you, actually. And Uddhava was sent to read this letter to the gopis. And then he explained it. The Krishna is everywhere, present everywhere. So the Vrijbhasis say, Uddhava took his little drum and sounded the little drum, the little dum 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 drum, you know. But then the gopis answered back with a huge love drum, tum, 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 which drowned the sound of Uddhava's and the sense of Uddhava's saying. The gopis finally turned to Mathura. They all did not look at Uddhava, and they cried, Oh Govinda, we are swimming in an ocean of separation. We want your form. We want to dress you. We want to feed you. This is not done with a super soul or and so on. And they cried, and it was like a big drum drowning out the little sound of Uddhava's drum of Krishna consciousness. So Radharani, in this mood, same mood, says, O my Lord, O most merciful Master, you are now the Master of Mathura. But when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? It said that only three persons know the meaning of this verse. It's very, very deep, and I will not attempt to try to explain more than what we can hear. Srimati Radharani understands this because she spoke the verse. Madhavendra Puri understood it because he was in the same, had the same intensity of love, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Except these three persons, no one understands this highest form of love and separation. So, the highlight or the point I would like you to take note of, however, is not this verse. It is something very important. You have to approach Vrindavan, or what is Vrindavan, through your parampara, through your line in which you are nourished in your spiritual life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Brahman and he noticed, my God, he is very similar to me. What do they say in American English? It takes one to know one, isn't it? So they were from the same inner disposition, because they were both the Brahmana and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were connected to whom? Madhavendra Puri. That's which held them together. And they had they were in the same line. The Chaitanya Charitamrita makes mention of this fact by quoting in this 17th chapter where this is described, this meeting of the Brahmana with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They quote a verse, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami quotes a verse which tells us that we can only learn things if we go to the self-realized persons who have the religious principles hidden in the heart. Because here it is described that Madhavendra Puri, who was connected to the Brahmana and to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, I feel this is pointing us in this direction. I would like to chant this verse for your hearing pleasure. Tarko pratishta shrutayo vibhinna na savrishiyasya matam na binnam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gata sapanta. Dry arguments are inconclusive. You cannot understand Vrindavan's inner core with dry arguments. Because a great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Well, there are these scholars also in our Gaudiya circles. There are scholars, and some say there are four big scholars at the present time living of our tradition. I do not know, but there are scholars always in a line. But even these four are different. No, this is a little different. The feeling of the Sakas thoughts, Krishna is not exactly like that. The Priyanama Sakas and the others feel little fine-tuning. No, you have overlooked Jiva Goswami's comment here, and so on. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. That's the pride of the pandits, the scholars. They always think, only I know, and others, all others must be wrong. Because otherwise I wouldn't be a great sage. I must differ. It is whatever it is, I disagree. Like a teenager, you know. The teenagers take to their children, say to their parents, whatever it is, puppy, I disagree. So a great scholar whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Teenager scholars. No? Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. So you can't get it from scholars, you can't get it from studying the Vedas. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajanas advocate. So you must connect with a self-realized person. For us, it is Srila Prabhupada who has given such sublime teachings that whatever we learn, we should see that it fits into this frame which Prabhupada has given. I want to recommend to all of those who like very nice detailed informations, there is a newsletter which I regularly read. It's called Krishna Katamrita Bindu. And it is it always starts with a quotation from Srila Prabhupada, because the editor or publisher is connected to Srila Prabhupada, and then it has so much good information from here, from songs, from poetry, from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, from exalted Vaishnavas. It's a pleasure to read because it is always in that frame of Prabhupada's vision, because that's how you understand things. You have to connect with a self-realized person who has hidden in his heart. It's sometimes hidden, you know. You have to study very carefully what he says. And then you go on this path. That's how you go to Vrindavan. And I think the reason why Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami takes this verse in this context here is to orient all Vrindavan pilgrims and to stay with your line and go and dig the treasures of Vrindavan with the help of your line. And you will be very, very satisfied. But if you nibble a little here, and nibble a little here, and nibble a little here, then you will suffer from digestion problems. You won't bring it all together in one proper digestion, and it will not nourish you in that way. This is very, very important that this verses on this subject and the explanations appear in Madhya Leela chapter 17. verse 186 and so on. Yes. So, now let me look at the... Oh, time flies by. Do you understand this? Yes? No? Good. Then I will go on. Because it's subtle. It's in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is described to be shukshma, very subtle. And it requires an eye to see the most subtle things. Your vision must be subtly tuned. That's why you take an eye ointment and then you see everything much more brilliant, with much more brilliant colors. So you take the eye ointment of your sampradaya and then your eye will be tuned to see what is very, or recognize and perceive and understand what is very subtle otherwise and very secret. Yeah? Krishna. So, now it gets a little easier. We will accompany now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu spent the first of his 2 months stay in Vrindavan, in the 12 forests of Vrindavan. He traveled extensively during 1 month and the other month, or this other half of his stay. He stayed mostly in Akuragat. He slept there and he went every day to Vrindavan to do his bhajan there. He went to all the 12 forests with a guide. He did parikram. I would like to inform you all a little because you will be doing parikram to different places, or you will do parikram around Giriraj if you so desire in 2 days or 3 days. What parikram actually means? It is a means of offering respect. It includes things like visiting pastimes places. When you go there, it's very important that you just don't visit only, but you must remember the pastime which took place there, either by hearing from a guide, taking help of a guidebook, and then discuss amongst yourself. Then you bow down. Then you must take the dust from the pastimes places and places on your head. Then you should take baths in sacred water. Wherever, when you come to a place, find out where is the water and take it. In the sacred water, there's a lot of spiritual potency. It's in there like homeopathy. You can't see it, but it works and cures you. Then I've written down other things. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Dham means Nam. You should chant as you are on parikram. You should sing very nicely, and you should do. We just had recently, we had parikram done. There was a very qualified guide with us, and we were singing 6 hours, no problem, and walking. In fact, I don't think we would have walked so much without singing. It carried the holy name, gave us energy. And then you should go to these special places like Govardhan Hill, which have their own parikram mark. You can circumambulate them. Ovashana Dham is there, Vrindavan Town, Radhakund, they have their parikram roads. It is said that before you do the circumambulation of the whole of Braj Mandal, you should always take your bath in the Yamuna in these 24 ghats in Mathura. Don't be afraid, you know. One bath does it all for you because they are all one next to each other. And somehow when you take bath here in Dhruva Ghat, you get the mercy of Gokarna Ghat, and you know, it's all connected. And this bathing makes you very, very... this is what Lord Chaitanya also did. He took his bath in Vishram Ghat. That's a specific ghat in Mathura. And then took his bath there. There is something to be said about... see, they do this right. They are on Govardhan Parikrama and they got it right. They sing. That is an ISKCON group. I can recognize by the melody. So they're very nice, very nicely trained by their... and so on. This is how to do Dandavat. Because the consciousness will be in a respectful mood, worshipping the Lord. When you do parikrams, just without singing or chanting, you might all of a sudden take mobile telephone calls with problems from Dubai. So much money was misspent. And then you are in worries and anxieties and so on. Or you might talk about your aching feet or whatever turns up, or the monkeys which are behaving uncivilized and so on. But holy name is very necessary then. I wanted to tell you something about this bathing in the holy places. Lord Chaitanya took his bath in the Yamuna. There's a story about Tulsi Das's brother. Tulsi Das was extremely elevated and wrote a book on Lord Rama's pastime, but his brother was a real rascal. He was a woman hunter. He he preferred alcohol over Charanamrita, and really bad. So he decided, he was always in the shadow of Tulsi Das, he decided to live Varanasi and join a group of actors who made theater plays in towns and villages. And one day, this brother, I have forgotten his name, was in one town near the Jamuna, and they had just finished their performance, and he went to the well and saw a beautiful woman drawing water. He became so infatuated that he looked at this lady in an inappropriate way, and the lady was immediately shocked and covered herself and quickly went home and told her husband. And the husband said to her, "Who was it? I have never seen him. Who was it?" And the lady said, "I've never seen it." So the husband looked through the window and said, "Is it this person?" And yes, there was Tulsi Das' brother. He was sitting before the house, and the husband went out and said, "But what do you want?" He said, "I must spend time with your wife." "What?" said the husband. "Yes, unless you permit, I will fast to death." "No, this cannot be done." The husband went and went with the lady, went with his wife, out a back door, and they went to the Yamuna in order to see their guru and asked him for advice how to save this person from fasting to death. So when they came to the Yamuna, they saw boatsmen, and they said, "There is a madman. He has a real problem, and whatever happens, don't take him over the Yamuna. Here we give you extra money. Don't take him. When he says he wants to come and follow us, he is, you know, the English word stalking. Is it called stalking? It's a criminal act in USA. So he is stalking us. So they've." Then they went to the Guru Maharaj, and they had darshan, and Guru Maharaj was very, very clairvoyant or very perceptive. He saw the trouble on the mind of his disciples, and he said, take some prasadam. And there were, he brought them to a room, and there were three plates there. Oh, said the husband, Guru Maharaj, we have never eaten in your presence. We are so shy. He said, this extra plate is for that man. What? But he has a sinful desire. And now he has, on top of it, a suicidal intention. He has taken his bath in the Yamuna. Just look at him. And they looked out the window. This man had swum across the Yamuna when the boatsman denied him a fare. Is it called a fare or a boat ride? He had swum, and by the contact of the Yamuna, he was relieved from his sinful thoughts, and he was now going to the house, and he looked sober and nice and acceptable. So they invited him in. He took prasadam. He did not pass any inappropriate comment, nor did he look in an inappropriate way to the wife of to the lady. And he had been purified. This is a story which is echoed by millions of other stories, how as if even a slight contact with Yamuna does this. There's a Yamuna Ashtakam which says, even the breezes from the Yamuna purify us. And someone who goes to the Yamuna doesn't have to see Yamaraj any longer. He will not go to the court of Yamaraj. It's so powerful. And Mahaprabhu took his bath in Mathura, right? In the Yamuna, in the Vishramghat. After this bath, Mahaprabhu entered the remote forest. It's called Agravan. It's not, I don't think it's the town Agra, but because that is out of the circumference. That's Agravan. And there he rolled on the ground in ecstasy and embraced all the trees and called out even to the animals, chant Krishna, chant Krishna. And the animals were recognizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Parrots came, and as they talked to each other, Mahaprabhu heard the verses which were later recorded in Govinda Lilamrita, verses which described Krishna. A male parrot glorified Krishna, and second parrot, female parrot, who joined him, glorified Srimati Radharani. And Mahaprabhu heard all this and took all this in. The cows who saw him followed him and licked his body just like they had done with Lord Krishna. It seemed, says Krishna Das Kaviraj, that old friends were meeting again. And in this way Mahaprabhu did his pilgrimage. The trees, recognizing their Lord, offered him fruits like they had done with Krishna. It was Mahaprabhu was finally at home in Sri Vrindavan Dham, which he had roamed so many thousand years ago as Krishna. And he interacted with all the residents of Vrindavan, in animal body, in tree bodies, and everywhere, because finally he was in the land of love, the land of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. When we are in Vrindavan, we also become infected by the Dham, and you will see. Burijan Prabhu makes always this promise. As you stay here in the Dham, the Dham will affect you also and make your heart soft, especially when you do service to the residents of the Dham. I would like to end here. I'm a little bit, you can see, I wanted to go much faster, but I think I will give up speed considerations and just go in with my notes according to a realistic time frame, which manifests itself as we go on with these classes. My request to all of you is, listen to these classes with two ears. One ear should take the information which is delivered, and another ear should hear, what can I learn? How can I learn from this to approach the Dham in the proper way, so that my visit is empowered with this presence of Vrindavan in my heart. Hare Krishna. I want to end here. I want to see if any one of you has a question so far, which we could discuss at this moment. Yes, Gaurahari, please. I saw you first. Please ask your question.
I was wondering if we know more about this Brahmana who met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mathura and was dancing with him.
Mm-hmm. He is mentioned, I think, as a Sanudiya Brahmana. It is in the Brahman hierarchy of castes, a lower branch. And he felt very overwhelmed that Mahaprabhu had no consideration, no caste consideration. In the old times, one an exalted member of one social background would not eat in the house of another. But Mahaprabhu went beyond this and saw and took his meals there for the time he stayed in Mathura. Madhavendra Puri used to roam around, totally intoxicated with love of Godhead. Sometimes he was with disciples, sometimes alone, and he would sometimes avoid public places like Mathura, townships, and he would stay for months on end in forests for solitude bhajan. But here he was on pilgrimage to Mathura and he accepted him as a disciple, this Brahmin, and also ate in his house. And this was in the caste conscious ancient society something absolutely unprecedented. People wouldn't do that. Even gurus wouldn't do it. Even the Bengalis do not eat in other things. Even in Radhakund, they're very careful because this is very deeply imprinted in the caste conscious mind. And there are certain reasons for this, of course. But Mahaprabhu and our whole line is just going over it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have Brahmin initiation. That's not done, you know. That's your caste is not known even. The caste of painters, but it's not a family tradition, really. So you're not even a proper painter by this consideration, you know. Not even a proper caste painter. Hare Krishna. Ravi,
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned at the end that as you stay in the Dham, then the Lord will soften the heart, especially when you serve the residents of Vrindavan. And in my experience so far in Vrindavan, I found that I've had kind of two separate experiences where one where serving certain residents of Vrindavan are having a positive experience, and then in other instances is negative. And I was just wondering whether there is some way of, or whether I should differentiate between the residents of Braj, especially those that we see, like you mentioned in your class, those that are cheating and things like that. How do we sort of react, or how should we consider this service? Or maybe you can share something.
Have you ever noticed that you can learn here from the residents themselves? They are very respectful somehow to the dogs even, but when the dogs are coming too close, they go like, and they throw stones at them and so on. So they are dealt with appropriately. And this is something very difficult for our mind. Here in Vrindavan, we went once on Parikram, and Ravi, everyone, that was amazing. A dog joined our Brajmanda Parikrama, you know, the 30-plus days Parikrama. And this dog, there are pictures of him. It is not that that I'm saying anything else than the naked truth. In other words, I don't add anything to it. He would, first of all, he would come with us everywhere, which is dangerous for a dog because he has to cross other dogs' territory who will cruelly bite him and inflict wounds up to the point of blood to his body. But he was tolerating all of this just to stay with us. Every morning at Mangal Aarti, 5 o'clock, even when it was dusk, he was there. He only ate prasadam, and he was therefore called Bhaktadas. Then Bhaktadas, the Parikram party, where he had found shelter, left Vrindavan, and Bhaktadas left also Vrindavan with them, but got lost in Delhi when they had to quickly cross one of these roads, which are with cars drive. So the Padayatra party was very sad because Bhaktadas had been for 20 days with them. I was also on it was one of the early Padayatras, and I would just have the utmost respect of Bhaktadas. So they were very sad to have lost a fellow companion. But when they arrived in the evening in the Delhi temple, Bhaktadas was there. But he's from Braj. He doesn't know Delhi and the complicated roads. Then Bhaktadas followed up to Haridwar, and there in the circle of loving devotees and kirtan, he gave up his body. So I asked the devotee who was there, what did you do with the body? Did you bring it to the temple or before the temple? And he said, no, he's a dog. Bhaktadas. So there's the highest respect on one level, but it is not overlooked that by his social position he's a dog, and he has the habits of the dog. His cleanliness habits were not so impressive, I must also say. But he was seen with two eyes. As a great devotee, I think they wrote also about him, but also as in this life a dog. So you must know how to act appropriately. And for instance, very important when you want to give donations to beggars, give not too much. You might spoil them. There are many considerations which you can find out from the devotees who live here. And maybe, you know, if someone wears a pistol under his dhoti, one bridge basi, there are gundas who have this, you know, then you may make a circle around him, you know, and at the same time, Jai Radhe, he may go back to Godhead. You know, it's a, you know, reality often has many layers. And he who can deal on the various level, like for instance, yeah, even in devotees, we have to distinguish. He has Mataji's, and it's good if they sit on one side amongst themselves, and here are Prabhus, and they are not men. We should all. This is all important to deal in both levels, spiritual and what is the reality in this life which is born. Two eyes you have to look. Hare Krishna. I'm also still sometimes making mistakes with the... But sometimes you just don't know, you know. They're very intelligent. And actually, in a way, Mahaprabhu said, don't mix too much. They're just in a different world, the Vrijvasis. Like yesterday, I was singing in the car. I was singing loudly Hare Krishna, and my taxi driver, a modern man, joined me. Now, with this taxi driver, we have a subtle fight because he always wants to put the music. You know, he's a music lover, and he likes this Hindi. Oh, he has his stick, you know, and it is like it's not bhajan; it's worldly music. So he sang with me Hare Krishna, and I knew he's a Vrijvasi. He will not sing because he loves Hare Krishna. He has something in mind. So then when I was alone with him going yesterday back, he put his Hindi music very loud. And I said, very loud. And then he smiled. Singing also very loud. I sang with you, now you tolerate my loud music, you know. And I understood, oh no. You know, therefore, intensive mixing Mahaprabhu did not recommend to Jagadananda. Hare Krishna. We will need to end here. I thank you very, very much. I hope this was you got something from this. Tomorrow we will try to do better. Thank you very much. All the best. Spend a wonderful first Govardhan retreat day. I think many of us have started very early already, and more is to come. In the next session. Now is Prasadam at 12:30, and then the next session is Burijan Prabhu at 4:00 in the same place, the tent. All the best, and Hare Krishna, Hare Bol.